Ninjas, with me today is Mr. Adrian Garlake.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how are we doing?
Who the fuck are you?
I'm someone who's been roped in because one of you two is missing in action.
Aye, well, eagle-eared listeners will notice that we haven't had an episode in ages, even though we did a big grand like coming back show.
Yeah.
That's because Mr. Stokes has decided to be a globetrotter.
Yeah.
Pain in the arse that he is.
I've actually heard he's in a location where he could potentially assassinate a president.
I don't even know what to say to that, mate. It's nobody.
That's what I think he's doing. He's failed. I mean,
he'll either do that or he'll shag his missus.
Yeah, I know he's gone over there, but he's not managed to do it because I've not seen it on the news. And I know he's back, but that might have just been a kind of reconnaissance mission. That's what
I've heard.
Thinking,
he's
anyway.
Illegal in 12 states.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably is. He probably is now.
So, anybody who listened to the Year of Shame will know yourself, Eddie.
Yes, hopefully.
What I would say is I'm totally icing over the fact that probably everybody who listens to this listened to the Year of Shame, but probably no vice versa.
Yeah.
But we try our best, mate.
I probably think that both shows have a certain core audience who are also part of another gaming community. So hopefully everyone's listening.
So how's it feel to be able to buy games again? I know it's been a while now, but...
Oh, fucking Jesus. Oh, it's been amazing. Just that splurge of 15 games I think I bought on in the first week of January was awesome. But I've not gone back to my old ways of just buying everything. I mean, we're recording this kind of a couple of days after the big Xbox spring sale finished. And I didn't make one purchase from that. So...
No?
No, not one. So it's worked.
You're the very man that I would make funny for buying absolutely everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's definitely worked on you.
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, I looked at a couple of things, but I'm quite lucky this year so far as I've started doing a bit of reviewing. So I've had kind of three or four review codes so far this year, and I've just had to play those games and write a bit of shit about them, which has helped as well. So I think of the five games I've bought and played or got and played since February time, I've only paid for one of them, which is pretty awesome, really.
Nice one, mate. So do you feel as if you're suitably rehabilitated then?
Yeah, I definitely think I'm definitely not going to be back to my old self, which was just buying every piece of shit there was just because it was cheap.
Or silly dances in Destiny? Or is that still going to be a thing?
I might still do that just to piss you off.
So
for those of you who don't know what he's on about, I bought the thriller dance in Destiny, which Will took great pleasure in ripping the piss of me about on one of our raids, but I don't give a shit.
It's a fucking dance, man.
I know, but it was the thriller game. Dance.
You could have bought a game in that Easter sale, but I suppose that's the whole point. What's the
exactly.
point of a game you're not going to like? So yeah. I guess I'll let you away with it. So what have you been up to recently, mate? The initial excitement rush for all the games, what's been holding you?
To be honest, I think in January I had a big rush through kind of the small little games that were released last year, such as Inside, Firewatch, the other one that's name escapes me at the moment, but it's on a kind of an adventure game on an island, which Oxenfree, and I played all of those. But since then, to be honest, the one game that I bought, and it was the first game I bought on January the 1st, was Hitman from last year, and I am still playing that game to death. I've just checked tonight, and 75 hours in, and do you know what? I've probably got another 75 hours of that game left. I'm quite passionate about it, really, because that game took a lot of shit when it got announced and released. when they decided to do it episodically. But they've so pulled it off, just unbelievable. And I remember being at EGX last year and seeing the developer panel. And the guy who was the main developer was so enthusiastic about what they'd achieved and what they were, what the future plans were. I mean, we're now kind of, we're probably about at least a year away from launch, since launch. And they're still adding content, still adding new content. That. Yeah, and it's just
like
every
daily
month.
Daily missions or weekly missions or something, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they do the elusive targets, which are kind of one-time-only missions, which last for about 5 days. And if you don't do it within that 5 days or you fail it, that's it. It's, you can't go back and retry it. They're still adding those. They have escalation contracts, which are where you basically get five attempts, or five missions, if you like, in one. So the first part might be go in and kill this bloke. And the second one is go in and kill this bloke, but you've got to do it in a certain disguise. And then the third one is you've got to kill the bloke in this disguise, and also we've put more cameras out to catch you. And it just gets harder and harder each time. And, you know, this weekend, that's what I've been playing, and it's just I've never, you know, I've put 75 hours in and never even touched them.
So what is the draw? Because back in the day, I remember playing Hitman. I can't remember exactly what one it was, but it was on the PlayStation 2. And I could never get past a mission unless I just ran about with my two guns and decided to go fuck it.
Yeah.
And that's not the point of the game, but it's so complicated. It's like an early point and click adventure.
And that is exactly why I've never been able to get on with a Hitman game before as well, because it was so, you had to do it a certain way, and it was, you had to do it absolutely perfect. And I remember trying to play a game, one of them, yeah, probably PlayStation 2 era, and just not being able to do anything, just being so frustrated. But this one,
sure,
you say, for example, the first mission, which is Paris, and you've basically got to go in and kill two people. Now, there are probably 15 to 20 different ways you can do it. If you want to, you can run in, shoot them with your gun and run out, and you might get lucky and you might survive. You could go in a certain disguise and you could poison them. You could electrocute them. You could drop a fan on them. You could snipe them from a distance. There are just so many different ways you can do it. And the game has specific challenges and specific opportunities which reward you for doing it all the different ways. So it isn't just a case of, right, here's a level, go in and complete this level. You would go in and do it, and then actually you'd look at it and go, oh, actually, you get extra points if you poison them. Or there's a challenge to kill both of them in one accident. So you're just constantly thinking, right, how do I do it? Which way should I do it now?
Yeah.
And depending on whether you get seen, whether you kill any non-targets, you get extra points for it. So there's actually, as I kind of quite happily tease Jace about, there's actually leaderboards in there as well. Which didn't make him go and buy it for some reason. I don't know why. I think he's must be an idiot. But this game, I was on Year of Shame last year, so I didn't play too many games last year. All the games that got released last year I played No Man's Sky and Titanfall 2. Since I've started this year, I've played a lot of the ones that were kind of Game of the Year nominations. Hitman, sure, for me, was Game of the Year last year, without fail. I absolutely love it.
So
if you haven't played it, just when it's on offer, I mean, it's going on sale for £22 at the minute on both PlayStation and Xbox. If you haven't played it, just give it a go, because it's fantastic. And I just want to bang
the
drum.
What's
the
intro pack of it?
It will just be the first mission. So they released it in five sections. So the first one was kind of the tutorial level, which is kind of set on a training facility. And then there's kind of like a very small little prequel mission. And then the first main pack is Paris. So I believe the intro pack is just the tutorial and the first kind of very small mission. And then the next packs were like, there was Paris, there was Morocco, Japan, and a couple of others.
I didn't realise it was released episodic.
Yeah,
what I've got confused.
Yeah, and each one, so I've played it kind of all in one go, What I did is I kind of went in and mainlined the story and did all of them. A couple of them, I spent a lot of time in various locations trying to master them. But what it does is you can buy one, play it, and if you like it, you think, hang on a minute, every 2 months I've got another pack to come, which not only furthers the story, but it also gives you that time to master it and to play everything and really rinse it before you move on to the second part. So as soon as they release season 2, which they're now working on, that will be, for me, that's a no-brainer. That will be purchased and that will be played to death. So
I like the way they're doing it.
Yeah, and they got criticised for it. You know, they got, I remember reading at the time, which was they've decided to release it episodically, which must mean it's broken. And how dare they, you know, ask people to shell out 50 quid up front for a game that's not finished. But do you know what? That's, you know, 75 hours of content I've put into it, and not even, you know, still got absolutely so much more to do. So
this is the thing, isn't it? And it's the same with like your Telltale games and stuff like that. And I bet a lot of people that complained about it would have bought Telltale games in the past.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. But you know what? How many other games were released this time last year that people are still playing and are still getting supported and still have content coming out for it? You know, a lot.
Dark Souls.
Fuck Dark Souls. A load of bollocks that is.
Oh, right, well, we'll leave that. I'll forget you said
leave that.
That
there. So what are you been up to, mate?
Well, after finishing playing Final Fantasy, which I think I sunk about 150 to 180 hours in.
Nice.
I decided to take a wee break, and I decided to go to Pictures, mate.
Yeah.
As I'm wont to do every now and again. I went to see Ghost in the Shell. Have you seen it?
I haven't, no. My son did want to see it, but we never got around to it.
It's just a couple of things to say about it. I really enjoyed it. I grew up with about 3 manga tapes in my collection, and Ghost in the Shell was probably the one that I watched the most over and over again. So I have that entire movie ingrained in my head. And yeah, I went to see this new Scarlett Johansson offering, and it's not exactly perfect to the films, but it's bloody faithful to the original material. It looks, it sounds exactly what Ghost in the Shell should look and sound like. Takes itself a wee bit too seriously.
Yeah.
But so did the original manga, so I can't really complain too much about that. The thing that I wanted to say was the thing that's been annoying me. I don't know if you've been seeing a lot of the articles about talking about the whitewashing.
Yes, I certainly have, yeah.
Aye. Have you ever heard so much bullshit, mate?
I could go on a great big huge rant about how this world is, and a lot of nations are too far up their own arses and worrying about things that aren't important and letting all the serious shit just go. So for me, it's just a complete load of old bollocks.
Well, the reason I'm saying it is, right, I'm usually all for it, especially when you've got films coming out like that Great Wall that came out.
Yeah.
Where you've got like Matt Damon supposed to be a Chinese guy, you know, defending China against the Genghis Khan and his armies, blah, blah, blah. That's a great example of a film that's been whitewashed. All the main characters in it are all white guys, and they really shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But the difference is, Ghost in the Shell, it never says what city it's set in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks very Japanese, but that's because the manga looked very Japanese. But have you seen a picture of the original cast of Ghost in the Shell?
No, I have. I think I did. I think you posted it on Facebook last week.
Right. There's not a white guy amongst them.
Yeah.
And there's not an Asian guy amongst them. The film could have been better, it could have been exactly the same, it could have been worse, who knows, if they'd put in Asian actors instead. But at the end of the day, it's no a whitewashing is what I'm trying to get across.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's not as if they took subject material that should have Asian characters in it and, you know, swapped them all out for white guys.
I'm completely with you. I think there's far too many people got far too much sad lives and things to not to worry about, and get the panties in a twist about things like this.
But all I know is, from the start to the finish, mate, I was just sitting, my eyes were just glazed the whole film. with how absolutely smashing it looks. And the annoying thing about it is it's getting a 44% on all your aggregate websites.
Yeah.
Which means it's not doing too well, which means any other of these mangas that they were thinking about turning into big movies are going to get thought about now and might not happen. So that's the thing that's kind of bummed me out a wee bit.
Yeah.
But
it's got Scarlett Johansson in it.
Aye.
So, that was enough. Say no more.
She doesn't get her knocks out like in the original manga.
Bugger. Shan't bother then. Although I think if,
I never understood I think that. If in the original manga she gets bollock naked to go invisible.
Well, I think my 12-year-old would have probably had his eyes popping out of his head if that had happened.
But apart from that, I've been plodding along on Civilization Revolution.
Yep.
Since it went backwards compatible. I'm addicted to that game, mate.
Yeah, I've seen a fair few people playing that just this last few weeks, I've got to admit.
It's one of them games, on my 360 it would always be sat near it, and when I've moved on to my Xbox One, I do have the 360 sitting there, but the disc drive's broke.
Yeah.
So I've never been able to just even have a go of it, and I think in the past 3 days or something, I've played through 4 games yet.
Yeah, and that was absolutely. That was probably the only, going back to the Xbox sale, the only things I'm ever tempted by now are when kind of 360 classics come on that are backwards compatible. Yeah. So I was never tempted to shell out on the new Xbox One versions of BioShock, but I was really tempted to spend, I think they were £6, £7 each, to get the original BioShock and BioShock 2 on backwards compatibility.
See, this is why I'm glad I rent, Eddie, because I seen that BioShock collection and I was like, I've got to play that.
Yeah.
But instead of going out and spending my hard-earned cash on it, I got it on rental, and I played the intro to BioShock and the intro to BioShock Infinite and went, this is really lovely.
Yeah.
I remember this, and then turned it off and never played it again. And that was enough for me. I think I just needed to see how they looked. Yeah,
I mean, they were amazing. The whole reason I think about it is, as you say, I mentioned before, I've got a 12-year-old. There's a lot of stuff he's not being allowed to play. But as he gets older and older, you know, he'll say to me, oh, what can I play, Dad? What can I play? Right, BioShock. Get it downloaded and get playing it. You know, you're old enough now. And I think he's got so many experiences to come that I've already had, that he's not been fortunate enough to have because of his age. So I have been picking up a few that he can play in years to come. But I was tempted by the BioShocks, but I was strong and I didn't do it.
My son has absolutely no interest in anything that looks old, except Minecraft. He'll play the shit out of Minecraft and it looks terrible.
See, my boys at that age where it's very difficult to make that judgment call on what's right for him and what isn't right for him. So, for example, I won't let him play Call of Duties because I see it very much as if it's real people that you're shooting, it's probably not right. But I'll let him play Destiny because you're just shooting the hell out of aliens.
Yeah.
So it's it's a tough decision at some point.
Aye, but I just kind of get my boy into anything that I like, basically.
Yeah.
But that's a story for another time, I think.
Yes. Yeah. So what have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing the big one this month, mate. I went straight for Final Fantasy, straight into Mass Effect.
Ooh.
With no real break in between.
Yeah.
But I'm a soldier, mate. I plod on.
You have to, don't you?
If nothing else, I plod on for the listener.
Personal sacrifice is what it is.
Yes, so I've been playing a bit of Mass Effect, and I'm probably about halfway through it, maybe not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it's good, mate.
Good.
Just to give people a wee bit about the game, for anybody who for some reason doesn't know anything about it, the game's set about 600 years after Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
And you play as colonists / explorers who have went into cryosleep for 600 years and made the journey to the next galaxy, the Andromeda galaxy. Obviously when you get there it's never as simple as it's supposed to be, and you spend most of the time running about trying to build all these colonies up and wiping everybody's arse for them because nobody seems to be able to do anything. And it's the same in the original Mass Effects as well. Do you know, I think any time you show up like on a planet and everything's all felt to shit and they're all arguing about a load of shite and you have a couple of conversations and suddenly you've fixed everything on the planet. How do these people even get up in the morning?
Yeah. Well, I'll just at this point say that I've never played a Mass Effect game. So I am...
Seriously?
Seriously. It was... To be honest, I think I've probably put about half an hour into Mass Effect 1. Didn't really feel like I was getting on with it and never really had the urge to go back. But I have got them on EA Access. And it is one of those things that one day I will go, right, do you know what? Fucking let's do this. And let's give it a good 2 or 3 hours and see where we're at.
You know how when Mass Effect 2 came out on the PlayStation, you had that digital comic that kind of gave you the gist of what happened in Mass Effect 1, like you make all the decisions and stuff?
Yeah.
Does that exist on the 360 versions?
I think so, yeah.
Because I would say skip 1.
Skip 1 and go to 2. Yeah, okay, might do that. They're all free, really, aren't they, on EA Access? So, okay.
Yes.
I might well do that.
Because the combat dramatically increases for the second game and becomes playable.
Yeah, to be honest, I've got a funny feeling that's what lost me. There was a certain bit where I think I was in a city and there were some aliens I had to shoot or something. I can't remember this, we're going back years. And it just didn't gel for me at that point.
No, as I say, it was a very stiff game and I don't know, there's a bit of a disconnect for the character. And what it feels like, it feels like a PC game.
Yeah.
Tacked onto a console, if you know what I mean. But it was good, the exploration was good, the characters were great, that's what kind of kept me going. This time around, the gameplay is much similar to what it was, except now you've got some nice, handy jetpacks.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do some high jumps and you can jump across some wide spaces, so there's a lot more verticality in the game than before. The combat, apart from that, is quite similar to what it was. It's just because you've now got all these kind of jetpacks and all that kind of stuff, you're not just hanging about the same couple of bits of cover to fight, you're kind of using more of the level to fight. I definitely enjoy it, the combat. The other good thing about it is the exploration, mate. You get this little buggy called the Nomad. And what I should say is, in Mass Effect, like, 1, 2, 3, you always had random planets that you could land on, and they'd be quite featureless and boring, not much happening. But in this one, they've kind of taken this idea of just putting out, like, 6 planets. There's only 6 or so that you can land in an entire game, but they're all kind of custom made and there's plenty going on about the maps if you like to explore.
Yeah.
But the Nomad, it is absolutely amazing to drive. It's got 2 drive modes, so you've got your 2-wheel drive, which is fairly standard, but as soon as you want to try and go uphill, you switch to 6-wheel drive mode and you can drive almost up vertical surfaces.
Right, okay.
It's ridiculous. There's a lot of kind of like little chests hidden about the map, and they can only be accessed by doing, like, there's not that many of them, but there's maybe like 2 per planet where, like, maybe one of them you'll have to do some skillful jumping with the player, or sometimes you need to even do some jumping in your vehicle to get across to things. And I don't know, it's really fun.
So the one thing I've seen a lot about is the facial animations, because in my perspective, so we've even had kind of death threats against people that people thought were the lead animator. So again, I'm just thinking this is the internet getting its fucking knickers into a twist and people being complete cunts. What's your view?
It's pretty bad, mate.
Is it?
I'm not going to lie to you. It's like really early Fallout.
Right.
Facial animations, if you remember, like Fallout 3.
Yep.
Where the characters just looked like mannequins. There's a lot of that going on, but with better graphics, which I think makes it a bit worse. They have put out a patch to fix it, and it's fixed it in certain places, but it hasn't fixed it for the whole game. It's only fixed it for like key cutscenes and stuff like that. And even at that, it's a big leap over what it was. But when you see it compared to even earlier games in the series, it's quite disappointing.
Right. But is it death threat to the lead animator bad?
No, nothing's death threat to the lead animator.
Exactly.
Level. Yeah. Death threat to the lead animator level. The only thing that would is if he uploaded in the middle of the game, there's suddenly an upload of him killing puppies. Fair enough. But no, nothing justifies that. As I say, it is a massive drop in quality for BioWare, because they've been known to be quite good, haven't they?
Yeah.
But it's not been enough to put me off, put it that way. But there is a situation, right, and I will have to be slightly spoilery here, but everybody will see it coming.
Yeah.
You obviously start the first mission, and you are not the Pathfinder, which is the whole point of the game. It's your character's dad that's the Pathfinder.
Right, okay.
So obviously, you know, your character's going to have to become Pathfinder, blah, blah, blah. It's not much of a spoiler to say that the dad's going to cop it.
Yeah.
So that you can take over and become, like, the Pathfinder. When this happens, your character's knocked out in the cutscene, so doesn't even know if the dad's alive or dead or no. But when they get the terrible news, there's like a big giant grin on the character's face. It's so stupid.
God.
And they haven't even fixed that one, mate. I've watched the updated version of the cutscene. It doesn't look any better. No.
And I suppose it is things like that would probably take you out of the experience you're having. If it's just someone whose eyes look a bit funny when they're talking about, you know, some stupid shit, you can probably forgive it a bit more.
Aye. And talk about stupid shit, mate. There's all of the stupid shit in this game. Like, bugs-wise, I've had everything from enemy characters being dropped out of dropships but not actually dropping.
Right.
So the dropship will just go away and they'll just be stood where they're at the same height they were in the dropship shooting down at you. I've encountered a glitch that I actually find quite funny, where if I'm on foot and I fall off like a cliff or any kind of drop that would kill you, basically, in this game, instead of dying, you quickly respawn on the cliff edge or whatever it was you fell off of, but it takes your shields off you.
Right.
So if it happens during combat, you're kind of left vulnerable. But what's been happening with me is I've been spawning back on the cliff edge in the car, in the Mako, the Nomad. That doesn't sound like much until it happens when you're in a dungeon that's underground.
And you spawn,
you fall
in
off a cliff in there. And you spawn inside the dungeon in your car. I've got a particularly funny one where I've actually spawned inside a very small, like, kind of building.
Yeah.
That's only just slightly bigger than the car. It has NPCs walking around inside it, and I'm driving the car up over the heads and everything.
So why do Bethesda get away with these things in their games, but BioWare can't? Because these are just typical, you know, you laugh about them, but you expect to see these all the time in your Fallouts and your Skyrims.
Well, I don't know, because I have been kind of letting them off with it.
Yeah.
As I said, I think the only thing is that up until a certain point, like maybe probably about Mass Effect 3, by the time people complete it, they had the reputation of being flawless,
yeah,
basically. And they haven't really put out a game as bad as this. Dragon Age had its bugs when it first started, but there was nothing kind of game-breaking, and I've had several game-breaking bugs where I've had to load up earlier saves,
yeah,
to fix my game. Things like showing up at an area to finish off a mission and the character just isn't there.
Yeah.
But the objective marker's over where his head would, yeah, be. Do you know what I mean? And there's just nothing else for it but loading up an earlier save. But I think that's all it is, mate. I think people are just upset because they didn't really expect anything that bad to come from BioWare.
Yeah.
Whereas all your Fallouts and Skyrims and stuff like that, we all know they're massive and they cram so much into it and the game just starts fucking up because of it. And I don't know. I think because we know the scale of what they offer you, it's kind of a bit more acceptable as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get you.
But as I say, for me, I'm absolutely loving the game. I mean, I haven't mentioned the multiplayer. Multiplayer is basically just horde mode.
Yeah.
Gears of War or whatever. Yeah. Except you're not setting up turrets and stuff, but you're just basically defending an area, taking out all the enemies. Sometimes they throw in the odd objective, like kill a certain enemy, or, you know, kill the enemies within a certain amount of time, that type of thing. But it's fairly standard stuff. It does have a mobile app that I've not heard anybody talking about, so I don't even know if anybody even knows it exists, because it doesn't mention it in-game.
I've not heard about it.
No, it's called Apex. So you don't, if you're like me and you don't particularly enjoy the multiplayer, you can hire some AI teams and get them into the multiplayer matches for you,
okay.
So that you can get all the same rewards. That's basically what I've been doing with it. But as I say, the multiplayer, there's not really much to talk about with it.
Yeah.
But I think that's it, mate. I think that's all I've really got to say about it. But I think people just need to go a wee bit easier on it, because it's not quite as bad as what people are making it. Aye, there's definitely some big glaring bugs there, but there's also a great game and a great story sitting there as well.
And that's it. And people... do you know what? That's why I play a game. It's, you know, it's a great story, and you're immersed with your characters, and you want to know what's happened, what's going to happen next. And no amount of small graphical glitches would put me off anything like that. Yeah, I get the ones which are, I've seen other people say that they're on the map and the marker's there where they've got to go to, but when they get there they can't select it to move on. They have to kind of reload a save, do the last 5 minutes and then hope that it's fixed. So yeah, those kind of things, you they're kind of inexcusable, really. You've got to get those things sorted. But yeah, graphical glitches are never gonna, you know, never gonna.
And funny ones like appearing in your car, that's always just gonna make me laugh.
Yeah. I can't remember which game it was. I think it was Watch Dogs, where I got to a certain bit where you were riding a motorbike, but the motorbike disappeared. So in fact, you were just driving around, sitting in the air, and things like that are just like, yeah, bring it. I'd love anything like that, as long as it doesn't stop me getting to where I need to get to and selecting the thing I'm there to do. Then fine, I don't mind.
The thing about it is, when everybody's arguing about against this game, nobody's mentioning that. All people are moaning about is the facial animations.
Yeah.
And to me, they're like the least
important thing.
The problems the game's got.
People are idiots. People are idiots, mate. That's the problem.
Mass Effect, buy it.
Yeah, buy it.
Right, mate. Time to move on. Because I've kind of kept you a wee bit longer than I, so...
Yeah, fine, mate.
Well, right, as we did last time, me and Ada have both been playing a couple of mobile games.
Yes.
And I'm to believe that apart from Marvel Puzzle Quest, this isn't something that you would normally do?
Not really, no. So, here's a... So, when we started Year of Shame Challenge, we did give Jace a lot of grief about Marvel Puzzle Quest. A, because it was a mobile game he played all the time, and B, he would drop real cash on it. And probably about this time last year, I started playing Marvel Puzzle Quest, and I've got to admit, I've dropped money on it, and I've played it every single day.
Same, it's stung us all.
Yeah, but there are... Occasionally, I'll get into the odd little mobile game and play it for a couple of weeks. And the one I really want to just talk about is a game called Mini Metro. And I heard about this probably about a month or two ago on another podcast. And basically what this game is, it's about... everyone knows the iconic picture of the London Tube map. And basically that's what this game is. You are designing that map. And the way it basically works is very simplistic. All it is shapes and lines. And what you've got to do is just... join up. You start off with London. You have to redesign London, and you start off with a map which has got the river running through the middle of the city, and you have basically got either circles, squares or triangles that represent stations. And all you have to do is select a colour, either red or blue or yellow, for the line that you want to run to join those stations. And it starts off very easy. You just join the three stations together. The trains appear. They go up and down the line, servicing the stations. But as the game progresses, another station will appear. So you have to join it. But then, for example, another one will come somewhere else. So you might decide to put a different colour line to join two of the stations together. And as it progresses, you will then have to add more trains, because some stations will be busier than others. You might need to make the station a kind of a hub where you can have multiple lines running through it. And basically, as the game progresses, all you're doing is adding, developing. Every certain amount of minutes, you will get the ability to add a tunnel to go under a river. And it sounds crap when you talk about it, but when you play it, it really does. It's one of those things that you just kind of add to and add to and keep going and keep going. And at a certain point, it will be game over. This isn't something that you just carry on and carry on. If you get to a stage where one of your stations is overcrowded or one of your lines is too overcrowded, it's game over. So it's very strategy, and it's just a game that you just need to play to get it. I don't think talking about it does it justice. But that is, along with Marvel Puzzle Quest, the only other game I've got on my phone.
Can I go over a standard checklist?
Yeah.
And I say standard, we only started it in the last episode.
Go for it.
So, how much is it?
It's around about, I think it's £5.99, which is, for a mobile game, you know, quite expensive.
That's triple A.
Yeah, but it is. But again, it's being supported. It's being added to. Currently got another update coming next month. They add new maps to it. They add new modes to it. So when it was first released, it was just the standard game. But since release, they've added an endless mode and an extreme mode. And to be honest, I've not played either of those two. But I think the names of them probably speaks to for itself, really. But it is one of those. It's quite, when you get into it and get going, it's quite relaxing and quite therapeutic, as well as being quite stressful. If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So I take it that doesn't have any kind of freemium stuff.
No,
any
nothing.
Pay to win.
No,
nothing like
it's
that.
It's £5.99, and that's it.
Nice. It's a bit time money, is that a game that was like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, and to be honest, because I don't play mobile games a lot, there's not many I would, you know, it'd have to be something really special and rated very highly for me to drop even £2.50 on a mobile game, just because it's not something I'd do a lot of. But this one, as I say, the reviews I'd heard and the people I kind of trusted on various other podcasts had raved about it, so that's what made me drop on it.
Nice. How long would it take to play a match or a game?
It would. So you can pause and leave it and come back. So I've had it before where I've, you know, had a bit of a dull moment in my car waiting for something, and turned it on, played it for 5 or 10 minutes, stopped it, and when you go back in, it carries on from where you left off. But for me, I'm just saying, because there are stats. I think the longest. No, because it actually on the stats, it actually ranks it in how many passengers you transfer in a game. So I mean, my highest is 534, which isn't the best, seeing that the person at the top's done over 9,000. But as you say, it's depending on how. Probably to start off with, you'll be playing for 5 or 10 minutes, then it'll be game over. But the better you get at it, and the quicker you recognise the situation that's going to happen. You'll probably get, you know, you can probably have one game for an hour.
Right. Because I think the burning question is, can I play it while I take a shit?
Yes. And then you can, on your next shit, you can carry on from where you left off when you, just before you wiped.
That's how I roll. And the other question, how much interaction? So one, can you play it one-handed, or does it need both hands?
No, you can play one-handed. All you're basically doing is drawing a line on the screen.
So I can have a sneaky go of it underneath the desk at work?
Certainly
one.
Can.
And lastly, is it worth your time and money?
I would... So I'd probably say at $5.99 it's quite steep. You'd need to really get into it and really put a lot of time into it to get your money's worth out of it. I'd probably say if it's in the sale, $2.99, definitely worth dropping on. $5.99, I'd probably watch a few videos of it, see if you're going to really enjoy it before you drop on it.
It's funny, isn't it, but that we hesitate to buy a game for $5.99 on the phone.
I know.
But
I know. If it's $5.99 on...
If a console game was that, you would be jumping with it.
And I think we've just got used to the games which have got the pay model. Things like Marvel Puzzle Quest, which...
That or 69 pence, you know, iPhone games.
Do you know what, Marvel Puzzle Quest, if I've probably spent, over the last year, probably £100 on that game. And I've not thought twice about it, because I play it every single day. It's my get up in the morning, make a cup of tea, check Facebook, check Twitter, play Marvel Puzzle Quest. And that's my morning routine. So
I do it in the bus, the way into work.
Yeah, I sit and do it while I'm having a cup of tea in the morning. But yeah, so $5.99 is steep, and it won't be for everyone. But if you like your strategy games, it's a cracking little game.
Nice one, mate. Well, cheers for dusting off your... Well, you're not really dusting off your phone, because it's all covered in your paw prints for Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Yeah, exactly.
But cheers for going out your way to play that for us.
Yeah, no worries.
The game I've been playing is Roller Coaster Tycoon Touch.
Ooh, sounds nice.
No, it does, doesn't it? I've got a tagline here for it, which is grinding to a halt. Right, it's not that good, mate.
Right, okay.
I seen it as an advertisement come up on Facebook. I was like, do you know what? I love a bit of Roller Coaster Tycoon. They recently released Roller Coaster Tycoon 2, I believe it is, on iOS, and I downloaded that. And while it's still great, it's very difficult to play on an iPhone or even on a touchscreen. I found it's definitely no setup for it. So when this one came out, I was like, right, hopefully they're going to take some of the love for that game, and it'll be a proper Roller Coaster Tycoon, because I've already been burnt by Theme Park World, I think it was called. No, no, Theme Park World. Whatever the theme park free-to-play one is, where it turns out it's just another one of these like Simpsons Tapped Out or Clash of Clan crap, where all you're doing is building buildings and upgrading them and waiting for them to upgrade. And so I was hoping this wasn't going to be that, and it turns out it almost entirely is. It's a bit different, because there's no gold in the game. So I suppose I better go over the important bits. So it's free, obviously. The pay model for it is, if you're wanting to spend some money, you can just straight up buy packs.
Yeah.
You know, like an Ultimate Team Marvel Puzzle Quest. You don't buy gold and then you can use that to do things in the game. It's just, if you want it, you can buy packs. Currencies is all you've got, is just the money in the game, like your bucks or whatever you want to call it. Time to play, I've got 2 minutes to 15 minutes, and that all depends on if you're just turning it on to collect all your money for your buildings and whatnot, or whether you've actually got a bit of money there saved up to build a couple of rides or an actual roller coaster. And how much interaction, I find I can't play it unless it's the screen's horizontal. So, and I need both hands. It's probably not the best for having a sneaky go on at work, but possibly still good for a wee shit. The only thing, saving grace, that the game has is that you can completely customise your roller coasters. And it's not just like one of them mobile games, because there's a few roller coaster design games out there on the mobile, and it doesn't really matter what you do with it, it's just cosmetic.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. But in this one, it definitely does. If you make your turns too tight, it affects the nausea rating of the ride. If you don't put enough hills in it, or big drops, or things like that, it won't be exciting. Things like that. So the roller coaster side of things is great. And I do admire the fact that you're not using gold to wait for things to happen and all that type of stuff, but it is still just another one of the Simpsons tapped out Clash of Clans game. So is it worth your time and monies? No, really.
It's free and it's not worth your money. So
no, well, it's not worth your time. Yeah. It's definitely worth your money, but it's it's not worth your time. And that kind of leads me into something that I'm going to try for the next episode, and I'd like, if anybody's got anything that they're interested in me doing for this, I would like to know. But I'm going to start a segment called Willy Plays So You Don't Have To, because I'm fed up of playing these shitty Facebook advertised games and talking about them on here. I will specifically play games. See, when you get these adverts that come on, like, there's one that I see a lot, and it has, like, fully rendered marching armies walking towards each other, shooting each other, and, you know when you get the game, it's going to just be a static, you know, time-based game of war, Clash of Clans. Well, no Clash of Clans, because that does have things happening, but, you know what I mean, it's not going to be anything bollocks like that. And I'm guessing people see these all the time, because I do. And nobody wants to play that because we all know it's going to be garbage.
I mean, the Apple Store and the Google one's probably the same. It is such a minefield to try and find something that's a good, interesting game, because it is just. I mean, I had a look on it at the weekend, you know, in preparation for this show, and there's so many that are just either endless runners, or, as you say, the tapped out clones, or the match 3 clones. And there's very little on there that looks kind of new and imaginative.
Well, what I would like people to do is, if you see one of these adverts and you're curious but you can't be bothered playing it, send a wee link, share the advert to our page, the Console Ninjas Facebook page, and I will get round to playing some of these. It started when... I take it you've seen some of these. What's the one that Arnold Schwarzenegger does? Mobile Strike adverts, where they've got everything in it for, like, watching proper armies fighting in the adverts, to people jumping about shooting each other as if it's some sort of shooting game.
And they're never anything like it.
And it's nothing like that. So I was like, right, I'm done. I'm going to play this for a couple of hours, find out what the game's actually like so I can talk shit about it. But rather than talk shit about it, I think I can do a bit of awareness for you guys. So if you see a ridiculous looking game ad that you know for a fact the game's going to be nothing like, give it a share, and I'll try and cover it. And it means I can save this bit for actually talking.
I actually saw one earlier that I'm going to challenge you to try and find, and all I know is that I'm just kind of flicking through now trying to find it, but I can't find it. I'm not sure whether it was on iOS, but it was definitely on Android. But the name of the game was something like Chuck Norris Fights, and it was a very cartoon. Here we go, Non-Stop Chuck Norris. There you go. There's a challenge. But I don't know whether it's. I did Google it, or I did look for it on the Apple Store, but I couldn't find it. But yeah, it's called Non-Stop Chuck Norris. So.
It's got potential to be one of the
best. Playable
with
one thumb, designed to instantly pick up. So there you go. There's a challenge.
Right, okay. Right, and I promise I'll play at least, I'll say, 4 hours before I'm allowed to speak about it.
It looks fun, I must admit. It looks quite humorous, but we'll see.
Right. Okay, then, well, you heard it here first, everybody. This is usually the bit that we go to, you know, emails or feedback, that type of thing. Now, we put out a request for feedback, and we do seem to have got quite a few messages.
We've got 7 questions from one person.
That's me.
And it's obviously friend of the show, Mr. Baron von Pleb. So thanks, Neil. I have just thanked him personally on WhatsApp. But yeah, there's quite some nice questions on here. Let's go for it.
We'll just go for it, mate. Right, we'll rapid fire through it since it's just the one person. Right, so the first one we've got is, has a video game ever made you cry with sadness? If so, what was the game and what made you cry?
Yeah.
Do you want to take this one first?
So, Walking Dead Telltale game, where, spoiler alert, fast forward the next 10 seconds if you don't want to hear anything, where the mother kills herself and then the boy dies. This is Walking Dead Season 1. Well, they're on the train, yeah. And they stop the train.
Yes.
And they go out to kill the son, yeah, because the son's been bitten. That was
pretty
tough. And also,
I imagine you're quite like myself. I imagine, yeah, that was quite affecting a wee bit more.
Because you've got a son, exactly. And The Last of Us,
yeah,
on multiple occasions.
I'm putting it out there, Final Fantasy VII. That was the first time the bit where Aenys gets killed. I just didn't understand it, mate. I was quite young at the time. I was quite heavily involved with the game because I think I wasn't that great at it because I was quite young, but I utterly loved it. So I soldiered on. I must have played the game for about 4 months, 5 months by this point. And it affected me, mate.
That's the benefits of a good story, which is something Jace will never ever understand.
Glad he wasn't here for that question. If we talk about the time that he got a fucking T square instead of a lime piece,
or the fact that he only came second in the world on the leaderboards and not first. Yeah,
he's a cunt, isn't he?
Yeah, so
I
think we both know the answer to this one, but if Tron was real and you could get sucked into a virtual world, would you look good in Lycra all-in-ones?
I look good in Lycra all-in-ones right now, mate. I don't know what he's talking about.
I would definitely not even like to look at myself in a mirror dressed in a Lycra all-in-one, let alone let anybody else look at me. No.
Not me neither, mate. Right, okay, so if you were a Jedi or a Sith, what colour would your pants be?
What's a lightsaber?
Right, I think that's time to
end
it.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Yellow? Because you don't see them very often.
Orange. Okay. There you go. Yeah, I've got multiple answers for this one. If you could change Jace's name by deed poll, what would you change it to? Oh, this is just... There's just millions, isn't there? Cunty McPissflaps. There you go, there's one.
Cunty McPissflaps, the baddest of bands. The thump.
Gay Jace, the goat fucker. There you go, there's another one. Yeah.
Right, that'll do
it. As console ninjas, will you both be getting a Scorpio?
What, together?
I don't know, we'd find it very hard to play it, wouldn't we, you being up there and me being down here.
I would like to, but I'm going to be going to Florida next year with a wee man, so I will not be spending the money.
I'm on the fence. I'd probably say I'm on the fence now, but as soon as I see it in action at E3, I'll probably change that to yes. But it'll be whether I can afford it or not, and what the price point is. But I'd be stupid to say no, I'm not, because I probably will.
I think I'll wait to see what the next model is after that.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. Normal Branston pickle or small spreadable?
I did not
chunky?
Know there were different types.
Nah, it's all about the chunky though, isn't it?
I'm not a big fan of Branston pickle. Lime pickle.
Do you see they're bringing it next year? Apparently, I read it on Facebook.
Yeah,
so you know it's true. They might be bringing out Branston cheese and pickle eggs, and it looked as if it was just an egg-shaped piece of cheese.
See, this is the reason we don't look good in Lycra. So I'll give that a miss. And lastly, and leastly, what did you both make of Iron Fist? Well, I've not seen it yet. Yeah,
it was all right.
Cool. Thanks, cheers, Neil.
lot of white guy kung fu for me, yeah, mate. But cool. I did enjoy it.
Yeah,
that's what I'll say. Right, mate. I think it's time yes. to call it a night.
It's
Sorry for keeping you at your bed so late, or keeping you away from your games.
I'm used to this because I recorded 14 podcasts with Spinky, and he generally doesn't get his arse sorted until 9:30, and then he has to update Skype, and then his microphone doesn't work, so he has to fiddle with the settings. And most of the time we recorded that show, we were still going after midnight. So this is an early one.
See, I kind of forgot we'd said Tuesday, and I decided to work at home. So.
I don't know, mate.
Good for me, but also bad for me. Right, mate. Anyway, I guess the only thing to ask now is obviously, is there any way anybody would get in touch with you if they wanted to?
Yeah, so I'm pretty much ADMG everywhere, which is ADYEMGEE. So that's Twitter, that's Xbox, PlayStation, I'm that everywhere. If you want to read stuff that I write, then go to thisisxbox.com. I think it's .com. If not, just Google This Is Xbox and you'll find it, where I've started doing game reviews and videos. So you can see my crap on there.
Nice bit. And I guess if you don't know where to find us yet,
yeah,
Google it.
Google's your friend.
I would just say to people, give the Facebook group a wee bit of love, because I think both me and Jace tend to hang out more on Facebook than Twitter these days. So I tried the Twitter thing, but it really annoys me.
Yeah.
There's too much going on there, and I think my brain doesn't work for it. I think my brain's not fast enough.
If you could get a social media outlet that doesn't feature fucking idiots, then I'll be happy. But you seem to get them wherever.
Aye, yeah. I think that's impossible, mate. But, and add us on Facebook, talk shit to us, play with us on Xbox if we ever show up. You know how it goes. And feel free to send us in any questions for next time, or, as I say, any abuse. Usually no comments are off limits.
So yeah, feel free to
and free that's just to us,
call Jace a cunt as well. That always works.
Aye, just randomly out of context.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it. Right, mate, thanks a lot for coming on and persevering.
You're quite welcome.
I've got a feeling you're not going to want to come back.
I'll always come back. I mean, if that allows Jace to go off and do his secret assassination missions, then I'm quite happy.
Nice one, mate. Right, anyway.
Cheers,
see you later. Bye.